Here's a question for you. What will make you stop honoring the Lord? Or, to put it differently, what keeps you from seeking the Lord in prayer? What prevents you from serving the Lord from your heart? Hopefully nothing stops you. Today we'll consider a man that was pushed to the limits and threatened with death to stop praying to the Lord. What do we find? The day Daniel prayed to God. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Let's begin with Daniel. Daniel was of the tribe of Judah and believed to have been of royal descent. It appears that he was born and raised in Jerusalem. Daniel, when a young man, witnessed the defeat of Judah and was taken as a slave to Babylon, where he would remain. God blessed him. Daniel excelled and eventually became a prime minister of Babylon. He was a scholar, leader, and businessman that faithfully carried out his responsibilities. And in the process, Daniel never neglected the Lord or forsook his duties to him. As Daniel aged, he was set aside by new kings. However, God was not finished with Daniel. On the night the Persians conquered Babylon, Daniel was protected and promoted. And when the dust settled, Daniel was appointed to be one of the 3 presidents under the reign of Darius. As expected, Daniel excelled and became the first, or what we would call the lead president. Meaning Daniel may have led the 3 in decision-making and was the spokesman for the 3 and communicated with Darius. It's possible and likely the other 2 were accountable to Daniel. And that brings us to the problem. It appears the other presidents were not pleased with Daniel being the leader. They began to dig into his life to find a fault that they could use against him. Perhaps they looked to see if Daniel had broken one of the laws of the land. Maybe they looked to see if Daniel bent one of the laws in his favor, either for his advantage or the advantage of another. These men looked diligently, analyzing Daniel's every move and command, going back through the records of the kingdom, looking at every decision that Daniel made. Like modern day politicians, they looked for dirt. And they took it for granted that Daniel was motivated by the same selfish and sinful desires that they were. It must be pointed out, this was done without Daniel's knowledge. He was not aware of their scheme. He just lived by faith and did what was right, as he always had. Our lives may be examined without our consent. It's important to walk with God daily and ask the Lord for protection, even from that which is unknown or cannot be seen. A good passage on this subject is in Psalms chapter 27, beginning in verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. After an intense investigation, nothing was found. There was not a shred of evidence against Daniel. Not even something they could twist or turn against him. It's not that Daniel was a perfect man. He was a sinner in need of a savior. It's that Daniel lived an upright and honest life. Since he lived for God, his life was separated from sin. He was a good, upstanding citizen in Babylon with a good testimony and good character. His business dealings must have been honest and upright. No corruption could be found. There were no business mistakes or blunders, willfully, ignorantly, or negligently. And there were no accusations or even suspicions. Daniel was on top of things, and he ran a tight ship. All countries should be so blessed to have men like that in leadership. We could use some men like that today. Well, they did find one thing. Daniel loved the Lord and would remain faithful to him. So this is what they used against him. They would take his love for God and attempt to turn it in their favor. These men probably believed they had Daniel. He was done. Why is this? Daniel was too faithful to turn on the Lord, and Daniel was too courageous to run away. Daniel would pray, and they would catch him. So, an ungodly law was carefully crafted that would ruin Daniel. As far as the law, notice the details. The new law prohibited all men from petitioning any god or man. Instead, all were required to petition the king, Darius. The Medes and Persians had often given divine honors to their kings. To some, this may seem strange, but it was not unusual for them to worship their kings. As far as the culture and society they lived in, this was probably not a law that would stand out to most. And, like good politicians, they probably snuck it in amongst other laws that they looked to pass at the time. Once signed, the new law would go into effect, and last for 30 days, and it could not be changed according to their custom. As far as the design, this law, like all laws, was made for a purpose. And that purpose was to entrap and eliminate Daniel. The law was planned and written with skill. You'll notice petitions were prohibited to any god, including theirs, so that Darius would not become suspicious. And the law would only be in effect for 30 days, which would make it easier for Darius to accept and approve. The law was completely written. All Darius had to do was sign it. It was a foolish law, made to honor a man. And it was dangerous, because it was made to restrain freedom of religion and worship of God. But the law was designed for one man in mind, Daniel. These men knew that he would not turn from his God, and that he would never worship a man. The law had some bite. The death penalty. Execution by way of the lion's den. So the king signed the law, and it went into effect. Without even reading it, one asks? That should not surprise us. Many leaders today pass laws without reading them, with little or no research on the subject, and without regard to consequences. Technology has progressed, but it seems people have remained the same, especially those in power or those seeking after it. What did Daniel do? What could he do? He did like always. He prayed to the Lord. Nobody could stop him from talking to God. To Daniel, to stop praying, might as well tell him to stop breathing. Praying was part of his life. And no man-written law would stop him from talking to God. Period. The issue was not up for debate or open to discussion. Daniel would pray and leave the results with the Lord. These men could do whatever they pleased with him, but they could not take the love he had for the Lord out of his heart. Again, what does it take to stop you from praying or living for God? Now I would like to share some practical lessons from this passage for our consideration. First, patience. Patience. Daniel knew the law had been made and signed. Perhaps he found out later that day from a friend or even an enemy. Maybe he was informed of the law by the king or one of his servants, or he heard it proclaimed throughout the city. I'm sure Daniel understood the law and probably knew the true intent behind it. It's certain he knew the consequences of breaking a law in the kingdom. But Daniel patiently let things run their course. He did not go to the king and petition to have the law changed. He did not make a scene in public. He did not enlist others to help him overturn the decree. It seems he understood what had been done was done, and he leaned upon the Lord. When something is beyond you to fix, don't give up. Wait and trust God to work. In Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. The next thought is petition. His petition. Daniel prayed correctly. He prayed to the Lord God, Jehovah, his God. Daniel's petitions were given to the one and only God, the Creator and the Almighty. He dared not to give his praise or worship to any other. Only the Lord is worthy of worship and prayer. So seek the Lord, and seek him only in your prayers. Next, persistence. Persistence. Daniel boldly prayed to God. He did not run out of the city in fear and hide. He did not cowardly back down. Daniel did not hide his love for God because of the ungodliness around him. Daniel prayed and lived like he had always done. The Bible tells us his windows were open towards Jerusalem. Windows in Babylon during this time were either covered with lattice work or completely open with no covering whatsoever. And it was customary for people to pray on the top of the roof or in an upper room with open windows. Daniel's house was a place of prayer, a place where he talked to God, a place where he worshiped the Lord. Our homes should be places of prayer, where we thank and petition the Almighty. The next thought is purpose. Purpose. Daniel did not make a statement or a point. He simply did what he always had done. He continued to pray to God. He did not make a scene. The only way that he would have been found out was by spies. And that's exactly what happened. He prayed three times. Three times. No different than any other day. Perhaps Daniel followed the pattern of David, who also prayed three times a day. In Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Both Daniel and David were busy men, yet both found time to pray three times a day unto the Lord. Daniel did not pray for attention, but he was also not ashamed to pray. Though he had been a faithful man for years, he was not weary in going to God. And yes, he was a busy man of business, but he would make sure to find time to pray. And on this occasion, Daniel gave thanks. That's the reason he prayed. Now that's something. You'd expect to find Daniel crying out for help or begging for protection. But that's not the case. During a trial and a great test, Daniel was able to offer thanks unto the Lord. This tells us Daniel was content with whatever the Lord determined to do, and tells us that Daniel was confident that the Lord would work all things out according to his will. So there was nothing to fear, or nothing for Daniel to worry about. And because of this, Daniel could give thanks unto God. Perhaps he thanked the Lord for his life and all that he had in life. It could be he thanked God for being God and for loving his soul. Maybe he thanked the Lord for his faithfulness. God never forsook Daniel. This reminds us that there is no trial too great that should keep us from offering thanksgiving unto God. In closing, nothing could keep Daniel from talking to God, from honoring the Lord with his words, and worshiping God in prayer. For Daniel, it seems that prayer was part of his life. And if he couldn't pray, he was ready to leave the world. So, when the law commanding people to pray only to the king went into effect, it was the same day that Daniel prayed to God as he did aforetime.